Well, I can't tell you when they're...
No.
...being pain, can I?
I want another one, at the same time I don't want another one, you know. So.
How old was he?
Well, he was nearly 12, which, considering what had been wrong with him for so long over the years, it was marvellous.
So many people now that it's very difficult to answer all their questions individually. So we thought that if we took a tape recording and you could answer some of the questions, the sort of questions which we have fired at us, then it would help. And most of those questions...
In other words, you're passing the buck.
Exactly.
Jolly
good. Nah, you sort of feel it would be better for them if I get it from the horse's mouth, like that.
Exactly.
You know?
That's absolutely the case, you see. And,
but I know some of these questions.
Yes, well, a favourite one.
How is you to announce where the geographical position is of the spirit world? That's a popular one, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What's your answer, Nicky?
Well, how do you answer that one?
Well, there is no answer in a sense, because after all, we are outside of geography.
Outside of space as we know it.
Yes, as space as you know it.
And so you would be living in...
After all, we are not in the same sort of condition as you. You can't measure our world. You can't measure... There's no such thing as miles any more than anything like time. You are in a world where time and space are important. We are not. So you can't measure it in the same sense. You can't approach a spiritual world in a material sense. All we can do is to bring it down as far as we can to your level so that you can have some knowledge or some grasp on it, but you can't expect us to be able to define it in a material sense, because it's not possible. There's no such thing as defining the spiritual life on a spiritual world in a material sense, because the differences is too many.
But you have a sense of space in your own sphere of existence.
Of course, yeah. We have a sense of space, but then again, it's not comparable with yours.
So if you had 100 spirit people in your own particular sphere, or in a particular vibration that you're living and working on, those 100 spirit people would take up as much space as 100 people on this side of life, presumably.
I know on the surface that's the answer should be yes, you know, but I don't really think it can be thought of or approached in the same way. by that that a person on this side is necessarily bigger or smaller. There again we're coming to size and shape. But what I think is so vital to remember is that our world is much more a mental world than yours could ever be. And you can't restrict mentality or thought and mind in space in the same sense. We do have shape, we do have form. And if I've got to bring it down to the material level, I suppose I'd have to say that we don't take up any more space than you would in your own world under similar conditions, but the conditions aren't similar.
It comes back to that old argument of our scientists regarding the fourth dimension, I expect, and we don't know anything about that, so we can't understand it. Well, can you tell us
You see, a spiritual body, a psychic body, a spiritual body, is an exact counterpart of a material body while it's on Earth, and when it leaves the physical body at death, it retains its shape and form, and to all outward appearances, if you could see it, it would look like the physical body without the defects of the physical body. But then again, once it is drawn or withdrawn away from Earth to any degree, that is, the person's mentality and outlook changes and becomes more spiritualized, so their body, or their psychic or spiritual or astral body, call it what you will, also changes. But it's so subtle that it doesn't necessarily happen all at once, because one doesn't necessarily change mentally quickly, and the body, therefore, that you have isn't subject to change quickly either. But there are subtle changes, and also as you improve in your outlook and you improve in your realization of things and become more highly evolved, so your body subtly changes in consequence, and of course the environment in which you find yourself. It's constant change. In fact, the very essence of life is constant change.
Would you recognize two souls just passing on? Would they recognize each other by their outline then, Mickey, or mental?
Well, it's a combination of both. You see, what I think it's the only way I can explain this is that when a person first passes over, they are so much like themselves in outlook and in form that they were before, that there's no difficulty whatsoever in recognizing a person, and of course being on the same level mentally with them, and therefore conversing on the same level. But when the person has evolved to any degree away from Earth, and they're no longer concerned with Earth, that is, from the point of view of wishing to enter into it, to become in any sense or shape or form part of it, in other words, when they're spiritually evolved from the Earth, then of course these subtle changes begin to take place. And then, of course, it would not be so easy to recognise a person or to be conscious of them. I don't know if you can follow
that.
Yes,
I do understand what you're saying.
But you see, what we must bear in mind, that when we refer to change, if one has to bring it down to time, Earth time, 100 years or 1,000 years is of no consequence. And then again, some people can evolve, possibly, and if one must again use time, in 10 months, what others would take 10 years or 100. So much depends on the individual.
Supposing, for instance, that a desire for food or habitation is carried over, how do you gradually break that down then, Mickey?
Well, the whole point is that if a person feels that certain, and most people do, mind you, after first passing over, they feel the need for certain things, well, those things are so registered in their mentality, and they are received and helped by people who are near and dear to them, and they are given those things. Those things are possible. You see, our world is in some senses, if not more so really, much more reality than yours. Yours is much more to us an illusionary world, although you often can't help but feel that ours must also be an illusionary world. It is a mental world. Yours is a mental world. But don't forget that in the mental world in which we live, we have also the ability to create, and we create much more than you do. You create too in your world. You take from the condition of your earth, for instance, the substances, and make use of them, and you create from them by your imagination and your ingenuity and what have you. We do exactly the same. We have on different strata of being, according to the conditions of life under which we live, such
conditions, such things there that we can have all the things that you have if necessary, but many of the things that you consider essential we soon begin to discard, realising they're no longer of any value.
There's somebody, sir.
I am very interested indeed in some of your questions. And there's no doubt about it that Mickey is very elucidating in so much that he gives to you. He's a very fine soul indeed, and his knowledge is very great. But of course, like so many of us, he can only go so far. Indeed, when it gets to a certain point, we can really, in a sense, go no further, because there's no language in which we could depict or describe aspects of our life which are so far removed from yours. But in regard to the spheres not so far removed from your life, we do have many aspects which are very common to yours. I suppose one could say in a nutshell that all the worthwhile things of your life exist here in their varying forms and degrees. We have artisans of every kind, people who delight, for instance, in creating in the various ways that man can create by the imagination of his mind. The creative spirit, I would say, exists here to an intense degree, much more unrestricted than anything you know. Here there are no restrictions on the creative power of man, and therefore our buildings, for instance, which are designed and executed and built as solid as anything that you know, and from substances which exist in our world, which are as real to us and as solid as anything that you know. In appearance, some of our buildings would look very much like some of your better buildings, where imagination and thought and the appreciation of beauty has gone into it. All kinds of architecture and design, and of course one must also remember that over the centuries of time, untold numbers of people have left your earth, and they have in their own time, in the past, as you would say, created according to their imagination of that experience at that time. Therefore we have buildings, constructions here of all types of architecture. Then again, there are artists who create, who paint, musicians who compose, people who love to sing, can vocalize, they can sing, as you understand it, and be heard. But these are things which really are more associated with the planes nearer the earth. These are not necessarily, in a sense, low planes, because they are planes of people whose minds are, as it were, more associated with the things of spiritual quality, the aspiration, if you like. It's, in a sense, the beginning of man's aspiration of expressing himself. Here on these planes, which are extremely beautiful, are many manifestations of the power of man's imagination and aspiration, and in consequence, these spheres are very beautiful. But far removed from these, on much higher planes, we have a different form of life, in which, for instance, if we wished, we could, by mere power of thought, transport ourselves into space, into any particular plane that we wish to go to, below, that is, our own particular sphere. We can enter into all sorts of conditions of life. If we wish, we can, by the mere thought power, the process of thought, be conscious of happenings that have happened in not only your world, but other worlds, thousands of years of time ago. We can, as it were, by the mere power of thought, create without the actual having to put into physical, as you would term the word, operation. In other words, on the lower spheres, things happen very much like yours. Architects design, men come along who love their work, who build, like gardeners garden and flowers grow, in much the same way that your world knows. But in our world, that is of a much higher nature, these things can be done by the mere power of thought without, if you would term it term, effort. Not that there is not effort in the power of thought, there is, but there's no manual, as it were, power that has to be used. We harness power by thought. You in your world have thought creative, but you have to harness all your forces around and about you, common to you, to bring into being the project. But we do not have to, on the higher spheres, do that. By that I would not suggest or have you imagine that all we have to do is just sit, and thereby we can experience anything we want, because we are also aspiring in other ways, but in a much more definite way, in such a way that even words cannot be described to you. Spheres far removed from your imagination. We know how to enter into space in such a way that there is no effort, that we do not, for instance, if we have no desire to, that is, make any effort to walk or to run, but we can, by sheer thought, transport ourselves thousands of miles, even into your plane, which we often do, in fact. And then again, there are those on this plane of mind who, having reached a higher state of being, go down into other spheres, assuming perhaps even a body of a lower nature than is common to us, and enter into their life and act, as you might say, as messengers, trying to guide them and uplift them and show them the path and the way. Indeed, we come back into your world utilizing mediums to give our philosophy and our teachings to encourage and help people to uplift themselves and to think higher, and in consequence to act differently, and in consequence make possible the fact that not only are they instruments, but they can be used in such a way that they can uplift mankind to a much higher degree. We are not restricted. You see, the whole point is that no man really is restricted. He restricts himself. It is often said that circumstances restrict a man. This may be more so in your world, because of circumstances and conditions around and about you, which man himself, of course, over centuries of time has created. The point is, when we reach a certain point, there are no restrictions that have been brought to bear upon us. We have not created any disharmony, any condition which will affect us mentally, physically, or psychically, or spiritually, or in any shape or form. We are completely free. And of course, the further you get from the earth condition, the more you evolve, the more you develop, the lighter, as it were, in essence, you become. And also, the more able you are to express more fully the living force, which is life within you. And the more you become attuned into and with the power which is called God. Often, of course, I know people in your world say, well, have these spirits seen God? Does God exist? Who is God? Is there a God? And so on and so on. But we do not know God in the sense that some people perhaps would expect us to. But we know of the power which is life itself, which is the essence, which is part of the divine. We do not know of an individual or a man who sits upon a throne. This is sheer imaginary. This is obviously suitable for the uneducated, the undeveloped, those who perhaps were like children in the ancient times, who were taught these things and expected them and accepted them in consequence. But we know that that power that is within us, that divine force, that tremendous vital spark, call it what you will, is that essence and part of God within us that drives us, gives us life itself. Each one of you have seen to some extent some aspect of this. You have a consciousness, a realization of truth. But then again, truth is like a diamond, many faceted. You cannot see all and understand all at once. You see the general effect, maybe, but you cannot fully understand or appreciate. There are many aspects to truth. And that which is truth in one age is not truth in another, but it was still truth for those people at that time. We must try to see that as man advances and progresses, truth becomes more simple. Whereas truth, in certain aspects before you are developmentally and spiritually, is complex. But all truth, fundamentally, is simple. I want you, if you can, to appreciate the fact that we are striving to help you, to guide and uplift you, to give you knowledge and experience. Do what we may, what we can, under the conditions that are made possible for us. You can only do your utmost and your best, but above all, we need your love and your cooperation, your understanding of our complexities and difficulties when we enter your Earth sphere, for immediately we enter into that, to some extent we are affected by it. No matter who it is that may come to you from this side, there will always be difficulties in explaining and describing certain things. We try as best we may to bring it down to some level that you will understand. But whatever we may want to convey to you, as particularly that of a higher form of life far removed from yours, we can only bring it in a picturization. And if there are no words that will fit the picture, then it becomes an impossibility. So we must bring it down to as near as we can the understanding that you will appreciate. You know as well as I do that your whole life is subject to thought. There's not a single thing that you can do that first you must think. Whether it is to lift a finger, your brain must respond to thought. And then you do automatically these things which are common to you. But what I want you to realize is that if we have to infiltrate into your mentality certain things far removed and foreign to your normal knowledge and experience, there are untold complexities and difficulties. We can lead you so far, but it is doubtful if we can lead you further. Then it is for you, in your developed, more developed stage, to become inwardly conscious, in other words, spiritually aware. You know there are many things that you yourselves, even though you may not be very developed, that you can feel intensely within yourself. You can be conscious of, as it were, but you could not put a title to it, you could not put a name to it. These things that we refer to, which are so important and vital, which are the very basis of life itself, these are the realities. The things which you often consider the realities in your world are far from being realities. They are the illusions. The realities are the things of the inner soul, the inner spirit, the inner consciousness. These are the things that are lasting beyond death. The grave has no terror for the man who is spiritually aware. Well, he realizes that death cannot destroy that which is infinite, that which is so in itself part of the divine plan. I wish we could find methods and ways of demonstrating certain aspects of our life to you. Whether in time we should be able to do that, one cannot be sure, one cannot say. But I can tell you this, that we are not only working upon what you term your mediums, but we are working upon your scientists. Men who perhaps you would think in some respects are far removed from spiritual things. And yet in science itself there are great possibilities, and through certain men we may yet bring revelation to your world. And there may yet come the time when you shall see some aspects of the astral spheres, when you shall see some aspects of our life and shall be in conversation indeed with our world by what you would term some scientific method of such a condition which would prove beyond all shadow of a doubt to all those, no matter how skeptical, that this is truth. As science has given you what you term radio and television, there may yet come the time when you shall be able to communicate with us in a more scientific sense.
I wish I could.
Who is it?
I don't think you can, dear. Oh, I wish I could.
Well, you can. You're doing it.
You're spiritless, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Oh, I heard about them.
Have you heard of them?
I didn't believe in them. Now I know.
Yes.
Funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Me coming here, talking to you like this. I never thought such a thing was possible. I used to think it was all a lot of nonsense. Now here I am talking to you. Funny, isn't it, really?
Could you tell us who you are?
I came here very sudden, I did, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't know I was going to die.
No.
I'm glad I came in a way now, you know, way I did. Because I was scared still of dying, you know. It all happened so sudden in my case that I didn't ever have a chance to sort of realise it. But it was a shock in a way, you know. It was when I found that no one took any notice of me because I was still staying on Earth, you know, and I didn't realise I was dead at all. And yeah, I went home just the same, and my parents and people, you know, and school chums and that, they didn't know I was there, and I was shouting at them, top of my voice, and, you know, trying to let them know I was there, you know, but all I could see was, you know, everything like it was, and yet no one knew I was there. Mm. My mum, she was upset, and Dad, you know, and my sister and all that, and gradually I realised what had happened, but I couldn't see why they didn't know I was there, you know. Yeah. I mean, I heard about spiritualism because there was a chap at school who used to talk about it because his mother was nuts on it, you know. But, you know, I thought it was a lot of nut, you know, daft, like, you know. Yeah. Funny, isn't it? I'm talking to you now, like this, isn't it? Yes, funny, isn't it?
When did you die, then?
Very old, isn't it? I've been here now some time now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was killed, I was, you know, knocked down by lorry.
Oh.
I was, yeah. Yeah, funny, isn't it?
What was your name?
Peter. Yeah.
Can we tell you,
Peter Sheldon.
Peter?
Funny, isn't it?
Sheldon?
Yeah.
Peter Sheldon.
Where did you live?
He's
gone.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Lawrence.
Hello, who's this? I think I know who it is.
I think I know
too. She says, where is Mummy?
Oh, where is Mummy?
I think I know who it is. It's Anne.
Is it Anne?
I think so.
Oh, Mr. Lawrence.
Yes?
I thought you'd probably be bringing Mummy.
No, she can't get away during the week. It's Saturday. She's coming on the Saturday, very shortly.
I'll give Mummy my love, will you?
I will,
David,
yes.
Too.
Is it Anne?
Yes.
Oh, hello.
It seems ages since I came and spoke to you. But I just thought probably, you know, if Mummy and Daddy could come. I was hoping they might be here this morning, you know. I suppose he couldn't get away.
No,
give him my love, will you?
Get away during the week.
We'll tell her.
Hello, Mum. Mum. Mum.
Yes. Hello, darling.
Anne Sparrow.
Hello, dear.
Mum.
Hello.
I just wanted you to know it's Dad. Dad.
Hello, how are
Dad,
you?
Fine, thanks.
Good.
I'm not staying because it's not fair because I've had opportunities before and I don't want to take up time because of other people, but just wanted you to know I was here tonight and all my love and a big kiss for you, Mum.
Big kiss to you, darling. Big kiss to you, darling.
I won't stay, Mum, because of others. It's not fair.
No,
bye-bye.
I understand. All right, darling. Bye-bye.
You see the concern there, friends, because Anne has been through to Mr. and Mrs. Sparrow and given some wonderful evidence on occasions. It was very generous of her, I think, to stand aside in order that others might come.
I am a little perturbed. We have a young person here who's very, very agitated, and I think there may be a problem here. Whether we can help him, I really don't know, but he's most anxious to make some contact, where, if possible. I'll see what I can do, but he's only been here fairly recently, and evidently he passed over very suddenly, and from what I'm able to gather at this stage, some disaster of some kind. Just a second.
Come along, friend.
My name is Simon.
Simon?
My name is Simon.
I know Simon. I'm a young boy called Simon.
My name is Ticehurst.
Tyson, did you say, friend?
I don't understand this.
Never mind.
It's all very odd. I don't understand it, but...
What was your name again, friend?
My name is Ticehurst.
Ticehurst?
Yes.
It wasn't my fault.
Yes.
It was not my fault.
Yes.
The plane.
Yes, I know who you are, Simon.
Do you know my wife?
Yes, I know your father very well
I
indeed.
I wish you could get in touch with my parents and my people. I don't understand this, but all I know is I'm here and I want to speak to my people, but this is all very bewildering. I've been trying to make contact for some time, but nobody seems to take any notice of me, and if you can contact my people, I'd be very grateful. You know, I was not responsible. It was a sheer accident. No one was responsible. I seem to be taking the can back, and it was definitely not me, and it wasn't anyone's fault.
Well, nobody thinks it was at all. It was very, very, very cruel, the things that were said about you.
If you can tell my people...
I will, with pleasure. I'll do it as soon as possible.
Tell them I'm well and happy and not to grieve for it. Yes. And that it was sure an accident. Something stuck. The damn plane had been... I don't know what, but I'm sure there was something radically wrong. It was not our fault. We tried to climb and couldn't.
Yes. Well, I'm very glad I was here, Simon. I don't know you, but I know your father, Bob.
But tell Dad, tell everyone that I'm all right, but please, we all feel very awful about this, all the crew, because it was not our fault.
Quite.
It was something stuck, something just didn't function. It was not our fault.
Never mind, Ben, come along, you're doing very well.
Tell Dad, give me my love.
Yes.
And I'm all right, and not grieved too much.
Tell
Dad I like the way in which he's conducted himself under this. I mean, Dad's marvellous. Baby.
But Simon, haven't you a wife?
Yes, my love.
Do you want a message for your wife?
My love to everyone.
Right.
My wife too.
They shall all have it, I promise.
Thank you so much, and I'm so jolly grateful, but I just don't understand this. I mean, it all seems so strange, so crazy, really, the whole business. It was
Quite.
No one's fault. Something was definitely wrong. It just wouldn't function.
Yes.
Something was wrong.
Well, we all know that.
We tried to climb in those split seconds, but it was impossible. Give them my love. Tell
I
them,
will.
Tell them
I
love.
Certainly will. I'll
tell
write it tonight,
tell everyone,
Simon.
Tell everyone.
Right.
I'm all right and not worry, but I wish they wouldn't pass the can on us.
I know that name.
Hi, Dad. Austin. It's Austin.
Hello, Austin.
Hello.
How are you?
Dad, it's me. Mum?
Yes?
Mum?
Yes, I'm here, love.
Oh, Mum, you don't tell me you've
yes,
come.
Yes, I've come, yes.
Oh,
I
Mum,
have.
I've been waiting for this. This is the day I've been waiting for.
Is it
Dad,
really?
You actually got Mum to come.
Yes.
Oh, Mum, I'm all right. Don't worry about me.
I try.
I'm all right, Mum. I'm not dead. I come and see you in the house.
Oh, I know.
Mum, don't think of me as miles away. I'm not. Oh, Dad, I can't tell you what this means. That you've actually got her here.
Yes, I'm here, darling.
Oh, Mum, I love you. I'm all right.
Oh, I love you too.
Don't think about what happened, the way I got electrocuted or anything like that. Forget it. And
I
just know I'm all right, I'm alive.
Yes, all right,
and one
darling.
Day we'll be together again.
Well,
Dad,
I hope so.
Dad.
Speak to Dad.
Dad, old Dad.
Hello, Austin, how are you?
I can't get over it. You've actually got Mummy. Oh, Mum, I love you. I love you. Don't worry. I'm all right. My love to you, Mum. Oh, bless you. Don't worry, Mum, I'm all right. I'm all right, Mum. Oh, Mum, I can't get over it.
Don't
I
get too tired.
God bless, Mum. Dad.
Yes.
Oh, Dad, I can't tell you how happy I am that you got Mummy.
I'm all right.
Hold on. Well, we've got to hold on first. Hold on to see what we can whip through. I've got to sort things out, mate. It's all up you sitting there. You don't understand, do you?
Well, you should do.
Come on, then.
to you. You please yourself. You've got every opportunity. I can't do it for you. Look, I'm not going to speak for everybody. You've got to try it yourself. I'd like to speak. I'd like to speak if I can. Well, come on, then. No one's stopping you. Which one of you is going to talk first?
Come along, friend. What's your name?
I'm Jackie.
Yes?
I'm here with Jean. Oh, come on, then. Now, which one of you is going to talk? You can't both talk at once. Well, you can if you want to, but it'd be a bit of a mucker. I'm Jackie.
Come on.
I'm Jackie. I'm Jackie. And I am here with Jean.
Jackie and Jean? You know
yes.
Him? Come on.
I'm Jackie, and she's Jean. I'm Jean.
Come on, speak up. Not to you, friend. Come on, dear. Come up to the front. Don't be nervous. Speak to them.
Jackie Williams. Williams.
There's someone who knows you.
Williams.
And Jackie? And Jeanette? You know Jeanette?
No.
I just don't like a child.
I'm Jean Whitmore. Is there someone who can accept this, please?
Anyone know Jean Whitmore on the other side?
No. Wigmore.
Jean Wigmore. Sorry, Ricky.
Well, there are two little girls. They're Jean and Jackie. One of the little girls says her name's Wigmore. I think I'm right.
Did they live in Reading?
I don't know, they're talking about some place, I don't know. They seem rather sort of, I don't know, hold on. I'm Jean. I'm Jackie. You're Jean.
Yeah. Did you come from Dainham?
I don't understand it. But I'm with Jackie. We're very happy together, aren't we? Yes, we are. I'm right. My mummy and daddy. I am happy now. Poor Davy.
Come along.
Are you from Beanham? Come on, Jackie. What are your ages? Come on, Dad.
I wish my mummy were here.
I'm here to baby, but no love your mummy.
Oh, I'm all right now. I'm perfectly all right now. I'm very happy.
Here's a line here that will take a message to your mummy.
I wish my mummy were here. I wish my mummy and daddy. I'm very happy now.
Is there a message for your mummy and daddy?
I wish my mummy and daddy were here and tell them I'm very well happy. And I feel so sorry for poor Davy. Poor Davy. My people, give them my love. I feel so sorry. I'm very happy now. We are all very happy. Aren't we happy? Yes, we are, aren't we? I wish I could talk better, though. I suppose I can if I try. Well, all right, you try then.
All right. There are two children here who even be passed over under very tragic circumstances. but there's no doubt about it that they're both extremely happy, and also there seems to be an atmosphere which they bring with them, partly due to the wonderful souls that have brought them here. If it is possible to convey their love and their joy and happiness to their people, it would be a great service. These children obviously passed over under most unfortunate, tragic circumstances, from what I can gather, and they are most anxious that their people should know of their joy and their happiness and their new existence, and that they are very, very, very often in the homes of their respective parents. They are very anxious that their people should know of their happiness and that they should not distress themselves unduly. I know that, evidently, from what I've just been told by some other soul that's brought them, that the circumstances of their death was pretty horrifying, very, very horrifying indeed. But there seems to be such a tremendously joyous, happy, wonderful atmosphere with these children. They were obviously received onto this side with great care and love by various souls who brought them here. I only wish it were possible that perhaps at some future time, who knows, it may be possible to reach their respective parents and their families. But there's great joy and happiness here tonight, and if you can convey this joy and happiness to these two delightful children, it would be doing a very great service. Anyway, I do not feel that we must continue on this at the moment. There are other souls waiting, but thank you for your kindness and the endeavouring to assist and to help.
She's talking about being in hospital. Yes, you tell me more than that. I can't do anything otherwise, can I? No, you have to tell me more, love. Come on, get on the vibration. Come on, what's your other name? You don't have to give me that name. Oblige me. Mummy, oh Mum, I'm so happy. Can you hear me, Mummy? Dad? Oh, Dad? Mum? Oh, I'm so happy. Can you hear me? How's Dave? Mum? Oh, Mum, I'm so glad I can talk to you. Oh, Dad? How are you? How's everything?
Very well, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm so excited. I can't help it. I didn't know if I was going to manage to get through or not. Mum? Hello? Oh, of course I do. I'm so excited. I don't know if you can hear me. It's terribly difficult. I suppose I will one day get used to coming and talking to you properly. I'm so thrilled and so excited and I'm so happy. Oh, Mum, you're wearing something of mine, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. But then I'm always wearing,
haven't
I?
Mum?
Yes.
What about my... And, Mum?
Yes, ma'am.
Come forward.
Mum? Yes.
Yes, Mum?
I've always worn it, haven't I?
Yes, Mum.
We've had the accident.
Oh, Mum, I'm so happy. I don't know what to say to you. I know it's so silly, but I can't think what to say because I'm so thrilled. Nita? Oh dear, isn't it marvellous? Dad?
Yes, dear.
Mum, do you remember when you used to sit by the bed and fan me?
Oh, Anne, do I?
Mum, you know when you used to try to cool me down and you used to sit beside the bed and you used to fan me?
I know.
Oh, Mum, isn't it silly? I can't think what to say to you. Oh, Mum, what about the eiderdown?
About the eiderdown?
Yes, you remember how you got so fed up and you was to send it back?
Oh, my goodness, those best friends.
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about, Mum. You know how particular you were about the colour and all that. Oh, Mum, I'd give anything if I could come and put my arms around your neck. Oh, Mum, I'm so happy. Mum. Dad, Nina, oh, my love to everybody. Love to Dave. Give Dave a kiss. Oh, Mum, I have to go. Mum, oh, my love. God bless. Oh, Mum, I love you.
As much as we would like to continue, I very much regret to say that we must now close. The power has waned. We've endeavored as best we can to help, to assist, to make contact. Some of the individuals, obviously, who've endeavored to speak are completely new and inexperienced. This is always a problem. It's always a problem in the privacy of a seance room with two or three people gathered. But when it is a vast audience such as this, and under these conditions and circumstances, the difficulties are manifold. But we have endeavored to the best of our ability to bring through as much as we possibly could that would be of help and comfort and any interest. But we hope we may now have the opportunity of building up the medium's power so that we can perhaps again do something of a similar nature, so that we may reach many people and give them an insight into the possibilities of communication. We realize, of course, there are many complexities, but each one of you here tonight are seeking, otherwise you would not be here. Some of you are merely on the fringe, uncertain, unsure. But if you will give yourselves time and have the patience and persevere, entering into this realization of truth, with an open heart and an open mind, eventually you will find the conviction that you need, that you seek. We leave you with our love and our blessing, and may God be with each one of you, and may each path that you take be the path to the true realization of the Spirit. We shall oft times be with you unseen, unheard, but we shall guide each one of you according to the light that you yourselves make possible by your endeavors. Our love and blessings now with you all. Good night, my friends.
Oh, I've got to pack up, but I've done my best. I might have done a bit more, probably, but I can only do as best I can, and I've done my best. Anyway, my love and God bless everybody. Bye-bye.
Could we have the front lights, please?